Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, the millionaire coach of millionaire coaches, Daniel Mangana. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
Sadly, Alex can't join us today, but she'll be back next week. But happily, Daniel can join us today. And that's actually a good thing, Daniel, for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is because this has been tire week here on LOA today. Yeah.
How's your week of tire going?
It has been entirely tire. That's how it's been going. And I say it's fortuitous because Daniel's here because, of course, he's in the tire mastery. I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit because I have my first private meeting with the stream about an hour and a half after this show today. And that I've been thinking about that one. I have, because it's not like doing an interview. I mean, I had the stream on yesterday. We had David on and we were talking about Taya and we had a stream session and so forth. That's different because I'm in that case, I'm interviewing kind of on behalf of the audience and we're doing it for an audience. This is one tonight. This one's about me. And like, there's a piece of me that's saying, do I really want to know what the stream is going to tell me? And there's another piece of me that says, well, of course you do. That's why you signed up for this thing. You signed up for some, you know, building and developing and growing and doing the kinds of things you've been wanting to do. So I've got two sides. There's like, you know, the little devil here and the angel here and that kind of thing. So I wanted to ask you, do you remember your first private meeting with the stream and what that felt like, what your experience was when you went through that?
I was quite tactical.
You were tactical?
Ooh. Yeah, because I keep a note of anything that comes up that I think would be cool to ask the stream.
Okay.
So it's generally stuff that I noodle on and get stuck with. So I do my best not to, I don't really depend on access to the stream. I like to sometimes all noodle on it myself and then see what the stream's got to say about it.
Okay. I was just going to say, you take the cautious approach.
Not so much the cautious approach is that I actually end up spending most of the time talking with David. the stream, we've got access to infinite consciousness. It's awesome. And then I get my notes out. Because I think it's important, especially people who serve others. I think it's good to have somewhere to sit and dump because there are not so many places to dump. People are always coming to you to ask for stuff. Sure. So I don't know what it's like for David, but I kind of like having someone that I can just, this is what's going on and that's what's going on. It's a safe place to dump. Basically, without giving, because I found historically that people will always look for an excuse not to deal with their own stuff. And when you're one of the people that people go to, they'll sometimes use your stuff as an excuse for their own stuff. So I'm very mindful. I've just seen far too many times conversations that I had people latch onto and it becomes their excuseful thing. So having clean spaces like David and having access to the stream, that's really what I use that time for personally. I very rarely get stuck. So sometimes it's just cool to just, hey, be cool to hear what the stream's got to say about this or stuff I've been working on, with my own work. I kind of check my homework with infinite consciousness and see if I'm on the right tracks. That's what I personally tend to use that time for.
Okay. All right, that's fair. It's an interesting approach too. It's almost intellectual, which I guess I should have expected because you're such a bright guy. But nevertheless, you know, what shall we discuss today in a debate format?
Sometimes what I'm going to discuss ends up evolving from the discussion that David and I will have leading up to it. Or he'll be like, "Oh, that'd be a cool thing to ask the stream." That'd be a cool thing to ask the stream. But I do keep a note of any cool ideas or stuff that's going on with what I'm working on my phone. And then I kind of look through it before and see. It's the same like when I, if I'm ever with someone that can see interdimensionally and all this kind of stuff, because I can do a lot of my own stuff. I can zip around and do Akashic stuff and I can do interdimensional stuff. But a lot of times it's double checking because you're always going to be a bit blindsided when it's yourself. So yeah, absolutely. Like I said, more like checking homework and getting other perspectives on stuff. Yeah. So
well, that's certainly
a good space for me.
I mean, for myself, that's certainly something I'm trying to do is with this whole Thai bootcamp thing is I think my main goal is really to develop far more than what I've been able to do on my own so far. Mm. My interconnection, my ability to do that communicating. I mean, if I had to name one goal, that's my top goal. That's it. I'd like to be able to come away from this being able to have full conversations with my inner being. And I'm nowhere near that right now. So that would be like a massive step forward for me to be able to do something like that.
Definitely possible. I mean, the really cool thing about David is that David doesn't really foster or depend on me energy. Mm. So, you know, when you're channeling something non-form into form as the funnel, it's limited to where you're at to some extent. So because that's the energy that he holds, I found consistently that the energy that he carries is that not depend on me energy, but help yourself energy. Mm-hmm. So the amount of times that he's reminded me or that even stream has reminded, remember that you are connected. You don't need to necessarily come to David to come and get it. You can tune in yourself. And definitely, you know, building on those pillars and the power and energy of those pillars will bring you to a place where you are more aligned with being able to just have that direct communication in and of yourself. And then it becomes chicken homework.
That was actually a point that the stream made yesterday during the conversation. I don't remember the exact phrasing they used, but it was something like, we want to get to the point where we're obsolete. Mm. Like where we're not, you don't need to do a session through David in order to get the information you're looking for. You have that direct connection. And that I found that to be really encouraging for myself, for my own goals.
That's definitely very stream-esque. And, you know, there are a lot of people saying a lot of things, and I firmly believe that everything that is said has a place with someone, whether or not what they have to say serves another person isn't the point. You know, there are people, for example, who have dislike of other cultural groups or other religions, and that works for them. It doesn't necessarily work for other people. My thing is, the reason why I make that extreme example is there are people who actually do need a bit more mollycoddling, for want of a better phrase. You know, for me personally, for example, even with religion, I don't see anything wrong with religion. For some people, that's the way that they connect to source. They need a bit more mollycoddling. They're not, they don't have the natural capacity for more independence and therefore do lean in a little bit more. One of the things that Stream always says is that we're not religion, we're not a cult. You know, it's not here to create this container for people to look up to them. It's to create this experience, I feel, for people to look into themselves and to find their own stream connection.
Which is really important, no doubt about it. And it actually is something that David emphasized yesterday, that this kind of self-development, because that's really what we're talking about, self-training, self-development through a group setting with, you know, coaches and stream connections and homework and all this other kind of stuff, is really only for somebody who is ready to make the change and is willing to acknowledge that the change starts within themselves. If you're in a blame mode, it's not going to work. It's not even worth trying to get into it in the first place.
I don't think so. I think you're going to really struggle personally with that, primarily because
you're not ready.
Yeah. I mean, looking outside and looking inside at the same time, I don't see how that is going to work.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We all are looking outside. I mean, while we're trying to look within, we're always checking, comparing it to outside. I mean, it's not like there's no looking. I think it's more about whether or not I'm going to hold outside responsible for what's going on within. Because that's where I think that people trip themselves up. You know, they point fingers all over the place. Well, you know, if it wasn't for you, my life would be just fine. You know, that kind of thing.
But again, you know, if someone, I've got this whole thing at the moment that we don't create consciously from, and I don't want to say lower as in it's less important or less powerful or potent, but from a lower level of consciousness, as if we're measuring on a scale of access to deeper levels of consciousness.
Okay.
So when we are exhibiting behaviors, taking actions, or making choices of a certain nature, that's demonstrating, I feel, a deeper resonance with an egoic, carnal, three-dimensional level of being.
Sure.
Because we have to separate ourselves from something to judge it and all the things or whatever. So when I'm in that space, I'm just not deeply connected enough to see a rapid change.
Yeah, good point.
Because that momentum of manifestation that's happening already, I mean, if without even getting to spirit, when we just get to the mind, we're not even getting into the spirit yet. You know, we've got a rate of movement of 10,000 to 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if my conscious mind is busy blaming people and reaffirming the separation from others, which is required for me to make blame, then I'm not even dealing with the mental patterns that are leading to that blame. So how am I then going to get to the source connection that's required in order to create something different?
God, you are so good at slicing and dicing and analyzing this stuff and piecing it all together. Like, whoa. I mean, I thought I was pretty good at that, but you put me to shame. Like, holy cow.
One of the beauties of having Asperger's is that I literally see it in the little pieces. So the work is actually putting it together. So, oh yeah, I need to translate this into human talk. Oh yeah, this is how they go together. Because it looks like in my brain, all these little pieces and, sometimes my sitting down is, that comes from there, that goes there. And, you know, the work that I do with people is primarily just sharing what emerges from those conversations with myself, those conversations with the stream, for example, where I am going into a space where I can see how those pieces fit together. When I do my VIP days, you know, it's so funny. People like pay $2,000 to come and sit with me for 4 hours while I kind of experiment with stuff I've been playing with. It's just like, I hope this works because there's no money back, mate. Let's see how we go. No, but they end up, you know, it's the cutting edge stuff of what I'm working on. You know, we do them. I don't think we've got any more planned for the immediate future, but we have been doing them once a month for the past year or so. And it actually is like really small group, you know, normally about 8 people we let come and, it's okay, this is what I'm experimenting on. Experimental visualizations, experimental teachings, experimental exercises, and we do some integration. And it's crazy to see like what emerges, because sometimes it's stuff that I've not really even settled with. And so the emergence is even for me on the other side of it, because then I get the clarity to integrate it myself.
So well, isn't that the essence of what good teaching is, though? A good teacher is somebody who's equally able to learn at the same rate that they're able to teach, or if not faster.
For me, that's the truth. I wouldn't generalize for me personally, but yeah,
okay.
I always speak to myself first. I'm going to be live on Instagram 30 minutes after we wrap up here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about. We'll see. I've got a list of ideas and I'll just hop on and just, I will piece together those ideas whilst I'm live on Instagram and see what happens. That's my process. Just open my mouth and see what comes out.
It's very similar to my process. I mean, when I started the show today, I said, well, let's talk about Thai boot camp. And that was it. I mean, that was my entire plan for today.
But we'll see where they come. I mean, we'll always end up somewhere random. I always think it's funny when we've got like this really clear idea of what we're going to talk about and we end up somewhere completely.
That's right. Yeah, no kidding. That's really true.
That's part of the adventure, I think.
Let me also ask you too about the Thai boot camp experience that you went through, because I'm starting first with, you know, you had your first first meeting with the stream, and then you started doing the processes, you know, the what are they called? The modules. And then you had, you know, your group coaching at some point and your individual coaching, all that. What was your experience going through that? What was it like? What did you enjoy about it? What did you find challenging about it? What would you have changed maybe?
I thought that it was actually a really clean process for me.
Okay.
What I ended up doing was just doing like one of the little videos every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes at night with Ethan, I'd watch like a couple and do the exercises and we'd just sit and watch them together. with mm-hmm. when I was doing the night shift with the baby. And it's a really clean process. I don't think there's really much for me to say about changes to it. It covers people at different levels. So mm-hmm. the group calls were a little bit more challenging for me because people were at more of an early stage in their process. So that required more patience.
Sure.
I would say. But then I've been doing this kind of stuff for 20 years. So someone who's come off, you know, just doing their first big thing, it's going to be a different kind of conversation to what I would ordinarily have. But
right.
The information's succinct. The pillars have got much more depth to them. I now see even more going through the mastery.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I've paid up for a year of mastery, so I've got, you know, 12 months to hang out.
Okay.
With David, the streamer, and the other masters and playing. And it's fascinating to see how other things are tying in with it too.
Like, other things outside of Tyre, you mean?
Other things outside of Tyre to see mm-hmm. the overlaying truth with other things. Mm-hmm. They've come to this really simple. And even when I read the daily tidbits that get sent out on the email, the little stream message for the day, like, oh yeah, like I think it was today's one. I was like, oh yeah, that really, and it just clicks and clicks and clicks. Mm-hmm. I think just, I plan to go back through the material again towards probably in the fall, I'll do that. And just to go back through the bootcamp and just do the exercises all over just to keep it fresh. But certainly I found that it's an easy to follow program considering what it does. But you'll see that things will shake around a little bit. I found about halfway through things really started shaking up a little bit, but the support.
When you say shaking up, what do you mean shaking up?
Well, it feels like it kind of spikes your drink with no reflections on consciousness. It doesn't smash you over the head.
Okay.
It kind of just spikes your drink. And as you do the exercises and start doing the practices, the Tyre practices. So what I did was I dropped all practices that I did myself.
I remember you said that.
Tyre and just did the Tyre practices. So when you're introducing new, and I found this anytime I've gone into a new practice, your energy field gets wobbled by the fact that it's getting something new. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to find vibrational flow with will change. And so things in your life sometimes get shaky. So interesting things go on at the energetics level of people, places and things. That's what I found to be true here as well.
Well, was there anything that really surprised you? Like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that at all.
I think it was really the relationship to my parents, primarily my dad.
Oh, really?
So one of the things that it brings up is, you know, dealing with transgressor and the transgressor energy and really diving into that mm-hmm. Through appreciation and using the tools and practices in order to transmute the energy of it. And I had things that I was neutral on that now I'm deeply appreciative of.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, certain things of the dynamic with my dad that have historically been like, oh God, that again. Okay, cool. Like, oh, where was the charge around that? I was looking for the charge and it just wasn't there because it didn't just transmute it through appreciation. So, I struggled with the transgressors only because I've done so much work with the bigger transgressors in my life and I've curated a life now that doesn't really have much by way of transgressors.
Mm-hmm.
But more did start to emerge after the fact. Actually, when I finished the program, transgressors started to come out. In fact, people transmuted from people I had perfectly lovely and harmonious relationships to into transgressors.
Wow.
Which was interesting. But then having the tools to flip it back.
Right.
Was really cool.
Yeah. This is interesting. I mean, I'm doing this in part because I want to be able to provide all the content I can to the listeners about what it's like to go through this. So I figure all these conversations contribute to that. So, I mean, normally if I were just doing this by myself, I wouldn't be saying, hey, Dan, what was it like when you went through the boot camp? You know, it's not my normal way of doing things, but it's an interesting approach to do it this way. And it's an interesting experience to do it this way, I should say, because I'm kind of wondering what's happening in my mind if I am kind of pre-programming myself this way. I'm setting up expectations based on what other people are telling me their experience was. Like I said, that's not the way I normally do it. So what happens when I do that? I don't know.
I mean, I think there's a fine line between interested in what other people's experience is,
mm-hmm.
and coloring your experience. I mean, there's always going to be coloring, right? Every image yeah. that we have colors our experience.
Of course, yeah. One.
Whether it's conscious or unconscious, we're continually moving and shaking. We had this yesterday on the group call for my program. They were a bit concerned that they weren't interested in certain practices that they've done for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, but you're coloring your experience. I didn't use that wording, but you know, you're coloring experience with new inputs all the time. So something might fall away or not have the same resonance, and that's okay. That's evolution. That's progress. I found myself going away from things and coming back to things, or some things go and some things come that weren't there before. It's just the natural flow and progression of stuff, and that's okay.
And I kind of suspect, again, this may be me, I kind of suspect it would be true of you too, but it might not be true of everybody. I kind of get stale if I keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's like, oh God, do I have to do this again? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for like the last 15 weeks in a row. Isn't this enough yet?
Yeah. Yeah, but then I think for me, the way that I, coming off the back of Tire, the way I've approached things now, even with the practices that were given in Tire, what is, unless it lights me up, I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So anything yes. that I feel that way around about, I wouldn't be doing it anyway. It's only things that I really feel like doing that. That's what I'm going to do. Nothing else.
In fact, I've actually been thinking about a kind of a new approach to building my own practices I was going to do. Right now, I'm going to put them on hold because I'm going to get into the Thai bootcamp approach and mm-hmm. do it, you know, that way for a bit. But I'd actually been thinking about, like, I'd been experimenting with affirmations. I've made myself a couple of affirmation videos that I'd like to use. Mm-hmm. And having used them for a while, I'm realizing where the strengths and weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. And I was actually kind of on the verge of creating another video that actually, it didn't just tell a little series of stories. It told one great big story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really getting quite fascinated by that before Taya came along. I'm going to be curious to see if I still want that after the Taya bootcamp experience. But the reason I came up with it though is because I was really entranced by the idea of, wouldn't it be great if I could be doing a daily practice that isn't just so repetitive, but actually it draws me in every day. And I get mm-hmm. really excited and enthusiastic just because I love, you know, playing this little storyline out and seeing where it goes and maybe even doing variations on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was getting me excited about it. So I'm mm-hmm. sorry, what you were going to say something, but I just wanted to
say
that point.
That's part and parcel of the adventure, I found, sort of
yeah.
just playing and seeing. I mean, consciously creating your own reality includes the practices that you use as permission slips to navigate.
That's right. That's right.
And it's fun.
It is fun, yeah. And, well, I think it becomes more fun when you make it more diverse, when you make yeah. it more detailed and textured and having all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just repeating the same affirmations, everything comes to me every way. You know, I just get bored after a while.
Then there's no vibrational flow.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's no vibrational flow, then nothing's really going to be changed.
That's right. Like, well, what am I wasting my time for?
let me say my words again today.
I mean, the only good thing I can say is at least I'm not spending my time focused on, you know, some horrible murder that's going on someplace. But other than that, it's not really doing a whole lot for me.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and then when you got through, I kind of got the impression, David didn't actually say this outright, but I got the impression you kind of went through boot camp fairly quickly compared to most people. When you came out the other side, though, where were you at then? I mean, did you feel like, okay, I need to take a next step, or am I going to just take a step back, or where were you?
I mean, I was still dealing with being like a brand new dad and weren't sure what we're doing in terms of where we're going to be. Because of COVID and everything, there were complications of what's going to go on with Ariana and getting her to see her dad, who interestingly is in England.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, and he couldn't get out of England and there was stuff. And, like there's so all this, you know, all these things going on, uncertainty about what's going on, about me being able to get access to the States and the stuff that I need to do and to know what's happening. So there's
there was a lot of stuff to keep me occupied.
Yeah.
A lot moving. We're planning to do some sort of more stuff with the business and stuff like that. So I didn't really sit around and muse, ooh, bootcamp. It was kind of more of an integrated approach of, oh, okay, I'm looking at everything that is happening through a new lens now, a lens of appreciation,
okay.
A lens of recognizing the contrast aspect, looking at my intentionality from a different perspective. And that's really what it's been.
I also like the part where you talked about how you were doing some of the modules, some of the exercises while you were caring for Ethan.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder, how much of this Ethan's picking up. Like, do you get any sense that he's picking up stuff that you're studying?
Did I ever tell you the story about when we were doing a remote healing and Ethan was there and he started lifting up his hands when everyone else did?
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah. So we were doing a remote healing for a friend of mine. There was a lot of us, and the person who was leading the meditation said, okay, like, lift your hands. And Ethan couldn't hear because I had my headphones in. And at the time, he lifts up his hands and he starts going like this with his hands.
Wow.
And then he kept doing that for days after, just looking at his hands like this and doing his hands like that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But there's a lot of weird magic-y stuff going on in our house. So. And his mum meditated a lot when he was in the womb and doing all this stuff. And so it'll be a bit impossible for him not to get colored by all of that.
So, well, I would think so. I mean, we hear lots of stories, lots of teachers talking about how, you know, the earliest years, you know, the person has just emerged into this world. They're still very heavily connected to source energy, to spirit. They haven't really been mm-hmm. trained out of that yet. Mm-hmm. So they're very... There's a very live kind of connection going on there. And I would think, based on what I know about source so far, that becomes a conduit for whatever it is we're currently focusing on. Certainly, we know just from, you know, basic psychology and the psychology of parents and children and so forth, that mothers especially, but also dads too, have a tremendous impact on an infant. And, you know, whatever your mind state is going to be directly impacted on the infant as well. But I would think there's also a transfer of information going on, which kind of indicated with that story about the hands raised, this kind of thing.
100%. I mean, look, when we come back to remembrance that everything that we call physical reality is energy, just vibrating at a rate that makes it more dense,
mm-hmm.
then a being that hasn't yet fully climatized to observing the dense reality and is more attuned to the truth of things will pick up more stuff going on.
Right.
I mean, I always care to remind myself that Ethan doesn't understand my words. He hasn't learned English yet.
Well, at least he has indicated that.
But he can feel the energy that I communicate with the words is what he's receiving, and meaning's going to get attached to that over time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's then going to be able to repeat the transference of energy through meaning-laden words as he learns to speak.
We could actually probably describe as meaning anyway. That's him already understanding the meaning. It's just not necessarily in a verbal sense.
Yes, not verbal sense in English.
Right, in English specifically.
He still speaks energy.
Right.
So when energy is moving around, that communication is being picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Communication that we don't see, that's like this, I'm not plugged in. This data is coming to my computer through Wi-Fi.
Right.
I can't see it, but my computer can see it and it's picking mm-hmm. up that data
yep.
and translating it.
Yeah.
I think that's what babies are. They're picking up true 5G.
I have a 5G kid.
Yeah, great. And not the harmful kind.
Yeah, right.
And over time, they'll start to connect that with words and make it more dense in terms of what they're communicating as they settle into the body more. That's what I feel is going on. So
I think you're right.
We were communicating healing. He's like, oh, wow, there's some grooviness going on here.
Mm.
I'm going to do this and see what happens. And he was happy. He was really happy
doing
this. And now he just, you know, for days, sometimes we just see him just looking at his hands and going like that. He didn't used to do that before.
That's pretty wild. Yeah. So, okay. So what, let's fast forward a little bit. What was your decision-making process when you decided to jump up to mastery afterward?
It wasn't. I just, David's like, oh, we need to talk about mastery.
Oh.
That we do. Okay. We had a call. He's like, so you got to do mastery, right? I guess I am.
Deeply thought out, I could tell.
I guess that's what we're doing now. And, yeah, then I was into the mastery. That was the process. But he doesn't make the offer to everyone, though. I know he really makes it to people that are going to sort of groove into that. And yeah, we have fun at the mastery level. It's really cool.
Well, I understand. I mean, you probably know I interviewed Kat Wanders on Tuesday, and I understood from her that it's a very tight group, the mastery group.
Yes, yeah, with very odd humor sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. But that can be a strength or a weakness, depending on how it plays out. I imagine with this group, it's probably a strength.
Yeah, it's been cool to form bonds with people. I mean, Stacey was my Thai mentor as I went through the program. So
okay.
I'd seen her buzzing around, but got the opportunity to sort of deepen connection with her. With that, Matt, I've known for years. Matt's the one who introduced me through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a couple of the others, I'm getting to meet them more now. Kerry obviously does a lot of the
right
operational stuff. So we've had some relating, but yep, now seeing that relating develop into relationship, which has been beautiful.
That's really good. And I also get the impression that from what Kat was describing, that when the group also does a stream session, some pretty crazy things can come out of the stream on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just smiling. He won't even say it.
You never know what's going to come out of one of those sessions. You never know. It's like, oh, that's where we're going today. Okay. Cool. That's what we're going today. But it's fascinating to see. I sometimes need to take a nap after some of the stuff that comes out. And the energy is a lot more palpable. Yeah, the energy is a lot more palpable as well.
Mm-hmm.
A few of the guys even get into meditative position while the stream's going. And yeah. It's palpable. I'll say that.
Wow. All right. Mm. Well, I have to say, this is an interesting thing. I feel like I'm on the threshold of entering into. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun to see how this plays out.
You'll have fun sort of asking your cool questions and then going through the material and having that experience as you ride along.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
I always flinch when I hear the word interesting, because interesting can mean a lot of different things.
It's positively interesting.
Exactly. Positively. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Flinch, not my friend. It's expensive.
Good. Okay. But you understand what I mean, that, you know,
no,
different people can have different interesting experiences. And yeah, I'm not sure I want all of the interesting. I've been experiencing a lot of interesting ones lately, and mm-hmm, they weren't all that interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one that's been going on. It's directly involved with the business that I run for Louise. We have hired three people this year, three new gardeners to be part of the team, and they're all working out really well. They're doing very, very well. I've been getting good reports on them. The rest of the team likes them, all that kind of stuff. And then two of them this week, one suffered an injury and what, well, it was actually a week ago that she suffered it. She suffered an injury and the second one thought she had an injury. She ended up with a tick bite that ended up giving her Lyme disease. And both of them are very upbeat. They're very positive. They're great contributors to the team. The first one has some difficulties because she's a single parent, so she's dealing with single parent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like out of the blue. And we've never had a workers' comp situation before, workers' compensation. We've never had that. And here we have two in a week. And I'm thinking, so whoa, we got some
everything? You got employee insurance?
Yeah, I've got the insurance for that, right. But I've never had to file one before. I mean, we've had that for years. Mm-hmm. Years and years, never had a single incident. And all of a sudden, 2 in 1 week with 2 model employees. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what did you do to attract us? Because mm-hmm. I can't explain it any other way. That's what I mean by interesting, that can go, you know, the other direction. Yeah, certainly interesting.
But the tire perspective will be that it's still expansively interesting because we expand through the contrast and the obstacles.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'll be glad when the expansion is done. No, it's working out well. I mean, that's actually, for me, I think the biggest thing I'm getting out of it is I am recognizing that this is, there's also a couple other things going on that I won't get into here on the show, but there are things going on that are kind of creating a flow, a flux, actually. There's a wobble. There's a wobble going on mm-hmm. where I'm not really sure who I have as staff day to day. And there's mm-hmm. a thing going on with what the flow of customers coming in are. So on the one hand, if I went into the fear mode, I could fear either that we're going to run out of customers or we're going to not have enough staff, either direction. I could go into mm-hmm. either one of those fear directions. And instead, I'm constantly reminding myself, this is all part of the LOA experience where stuff happens and you just ride it out and you trust that it's all going to play out the way you need it to play out. And mm-hmm. it feels like a lot to go through it, but that's what I'm trying to stay on right now. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's looking good.
Well, I definitely say that flip side perspective definitely has something to do with it, as in the tire journey, because the mm-hmm. flip side perspective is how you view all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. More and more, what I'm finding in my journeys I delve into mastery and even the stuff I'm exploring in my own life, which is heavily colored by the mastery work, it's that experiences will be experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what we have our dominion over is our viewpoint and response to experiences.
Right.
But our response doesn't necessarily change the experience directly. It just, again, reflects our perspective on the experience. It's the right. movie's going on anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's more like we're in the boat that's bouncing up and down on the water and, you know, we're just deciding how we're feeling about being in the boat.
Yeah.
It's not that we're changing the water in any way.
No, the water's going to be what the water is. Now, if we were to return back to completed state, then obviously we are more holy and without illusionary separation to the boat, the water, the sky, mm-hmm. the fish, the waves, and all the things. But the level of illusion, the level of physical form, there is an apparent separation. And that apparent separation gives us the opportunity to look back and refer at these things. And I've been playing with this whole idea recently of omniscience exists only because of our perspective.
Right. Sure.
So everything that we come to know, even the stuff that we don't prefer, everything that we come to know is actually embodying and adding to the omniscience of the divine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which can't
yeah.
exist without our perspective, because our perspective presents another thing in all things that the divine knows in its omniscience.
That's interesting. That's a good viewpoint, but it's interesting because it basically shows how omniscience really depends on an infinite number of perspectives.
Because that's omniscience. It's
that's what it is, yes.
And so even when something shows up that I'm not really grooving with, a point of appreciation is that I get the honor of being the agent of omniscience being reflected back into the divine.
Oh, that's an interesting view, yeah, okay.
And it just cuts all the noise.
Well, it what's interesting to me is that it's a mind game that we're talking about here, but it's a mind game that actually plays a really powerful positive purpose.
Yeah.
Most mind games are destructive or at least at very best neutral. This is like building. This is like mm-hmm. growing kind of a mind game.
I mean, when I've done my retreats and we look at the level of my work around agreements, that's essentially what I'm teaching there. It's choosing your mind fudge.
because everything's a mind fudge. It's literally one big cacophony of placebos, nocebos, and waves and boats and permission slips and all the things. Practices yeah. don't mean anything unless you believe in them. They are walking placebos and nocebos.
That's true.
They're just permission slips.
Yeah.
They're not required for the change, but they're the agent through which we hobble into change.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to meditate, but meditation is a way for you to go through the process of connecting to something.
Okay. Yeah, that's the whole point of a tool set. A toolbox or a tool set is about giving ourselves different ways to allow ourselves to do what we already can do anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's been cool. That's been cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's what we normally do. We're doing them virtually now because the whole thing of when we had the last one and one poor lady 2 days or 3 days before she paid for her flight, she paid for everything. They locked down Ontario so she couldn't. So I was like, do you know what? And then another guy couldn't leave his ex, put a hold on his thing because of something or other with the kids. And I was like, do you know what? I'm not.
Talk about some severe polarity going on.
Yeah, it's just like when another person got stuck. Another couple got upset because they mistakenly thought that they didn't have to pay for it. And then they thought I was ripping them off by charging them for it.
David and I had a conversation about that. I'm not sure if we did it on the show, but he was telling me about the various people who sign up or who at least sign up for the initial session. And there was this one guy apparently who thought that it was absolutely immoral to ever charge for any help with anything spiritual and got really offended when the whole topic came up. And of course, I'm trying to politely smile rather than burst out laughing at it. But
it's bonkers. I mean, we sort of cleared that up, but there was still bitterness there. But we just basically, we had like a sold out thing that ended up going down to half the number. And then two people then signed up at the last minute. It was just really interesting. And I was like, you know what? This is an awful lot of faffing around because I need to arrange chef in advance and make sure that my dietary things are done and accommodation and things. So like, you know what? I'm just going to do it virtually for a little bit until
it's cleaner. That's for sure. It's a lot simpler.
So yeah, the one in July, the weekend of the 9th of July is going to be virtual. It also means I can have more people. So yeah, it's going to be interesting doing it virtually.
And there's probably going to be at least one or two people wondering, is that something they can be a part of?
Yeah, anyone can come. Yeah, anyone can come to that. They just drop me a line through the app. We can make some arrangements.
Beautiful.
The investment's a lot more reasonable now because it's virtual as well.
Mm-hmm.
Than people coming and, I mean, put it into context. We have a luxury house with a private chef, and we normally do cool things like rent a boat and go out to the thing. So the investment is normally a lot more when it's either the person. But for the virtual, because I can open up the numbers and be compensated for the time and we've got less costs, we made it a lot more nominal. So if anyone's interested, just send a message through the app. There's plenty of space.
Chad, who's listening on the live stream, threw in a comment along this line. He says, clarity is important, especially where finances are concerned. I love the comment. I mean, I think clarity is important where everything's concerned, but in this context, clarity is very important. No doubt about it. Oh, well, clarity is like, that's high vibration. So, you know, clarity on everything, I think, is wonderful. Mm-hmm. The more clarity I get, the better off I'm doing. He asked which app. He's talking about the LOA Today app. There's my cue right there to talk about the LOA Today app. Right there.
Thank someone else for doing the segue.
Absolutely. So yeah, very simple. Just download the LOA Today app on iPhone or on Android, either one. You can find it in the App Store or the Play Store. Just look for LOA Today. And it's got a whole bunch of stuff in there. There are a couple of contributions from Daniel. There's his ebook, The Money Game. There's also a condensed version of his regular book in audio form, Beyond Intention, based on the Stepping Beyond Intention book. There are a couple of other ebooks. There's one by Cindy Chavez. There's one that I edited. That's a collection of manifestation stories. There's a video course from Linda Armstrong. And there's also the opportunity to reach out to people. So he was suggesting that you could reach out to him through the app because you can just go to the form that is a contact form and, you know, tap the button for Dan and then type your message and it goes right to Dan. So yeah, take advantage of the LOA Today app for that. It's free, and it's basically the go-to for everything that you can possibly find that we've put out for public consumption on a permanent basis, shall we say?
Yeah.
Here on the show. So take advantage, absolutely. And share it with a friend too.
Yeah, and lovely built by the hands of Walt. So please do rate. In fact, you know what? I don't even know if I've rated the app.
I appreciate it if you would.
I'm going to make sure that I've rated the app. I'm going to make a note. In fact, where's my
I'll tell you something. Not only was it lovingly created by me, it was my first successful phone app. It was the first one I ever successfully created. I failed a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's right. The LOA Today podcast app, Moonshot, that's the one. And I was proud of myself that I was able to do it. It took me about 2 years to learn how to make the darn thing.
But you did. And
I did it. I did it. And afterward, I said, how on earth did I do that? But
skill,
it was a good learning
skill,
experience.
Which is becoming of Mr. Walt.
Well, I'll tell you this. There are a lot of people who are app developers who have developed pretty good careers doing it, because it is not an easy thing to do. So I appreciate what they go through. And I'm completely a beginner compared to them. But, hey, I'm proud. I got my app out. And it works, and it is not breaking people's phones. That's all. That's a big part right there. So, yeah, good stuff. All right. So, we've talked a bit about the boot camp, and we talked a little bit about experience with the mastery program.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably way too soon to ask this, because you just embarked on another year of the mastery program. But what do you think happens after that? Where do you go with that, do you think?
From what I'm seeing, You live your life and continue to enjoy that adventure, and just doing it through this new lens and perspective. That's what I'm finding. Other stuff that I'm doing, and I'm constantly taking on new adventures. I've always got like a major development material that I'm into. Always reading. Always got some kind of coaching or tutelage that I'm under.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always expansion going on, but I'm doing it all through this new lens.
Right.
Even going back into older stuff that I've done and looking back at that through the new lens I've got on my books as well.
That reminds me, that was another question I was going to ask you. When you first signed on for boot camp, and then later on when you signed up for mastery, now you already told the story about how David said, oh, you're going to do mastery, right? And so you just kind of slipped into it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to the beginning of boot camp. Did you have something you were working on, some goal you were trying to achieve? Like, I want to be able to get to X. I want to be able to do X by the time I'm done here.
I was kind of like faffing around for like a year or something in and around the boot camp thing, and then the time came, we just felt, okay, I'm gonna do that now.
Okay. More like going with the flow than anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had the space to actually, because I'd slowed down and stopped a lot of stuff coming up to where Ethan was going to be coming around, so I had that open space. December I normally take off completely. This year I'm taking off from the second half of October. I'm not going to be doing any workshops. I'm not going to be doing, unless it's like a really, really good speaking opportunity, I'm probably not going to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I have podcasts in the bank. I'll do the odd piece of content, but I'm certainly not going to have the same schedule that I have now.
Okay.
By way of like podcasting and stuff like that, it's going to be.
Well, I'm forewarned then.
With December, everyone in the whole house has got their birthday the first half of December, and then before Christmas. So it just made sense. November, potentially when we want to go away. So yeah, I had the space anyway because it was December. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Moonshot asked a question. Is it? Are we talking about living the surrender experiment? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's just having time off.
So, just time off, okay.
So Olga's birthday is the 2nd of December. I'm the 5th of December. Ariana's the 11th of December. My nephew Mike is the 11th of December. Ethan's the 15th of December.
Wow.
My brother's the 30th of December. Anyway, it's a lot of
apparently.
December. Yeah.
You guys have the corner on the December concession going on there.
Yeah, the December concession. Then there's Christmas. Then there's New Year's. Then coming into January, everyone's kind of busy, so there's not much point really doing much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take that time off, probably work on the book. which I was going to release this year, but now we pushed it back to next year.
Okay.
But yeah, I have a lot of stuff in the can, even in terms of social media. I may still do the lives because I've been enjoying doing the live content. We've been getting some really good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from 500 to 1,000 people coming to our Instagram lives when we do them.
Really good.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I may just slow down and maybe just do one instead of doing them as regularly. But I'll just go with what feels right. But I certainly won't have any fixed stuff. There won't be any group coaching going on. I won't be... all my one-on-one clients will be closed off come October so that I've got a nice open set schedule, second half of October, November, December, and then kick it back up again in January.
Okay. And you actually reminded me, I'd forgotten that you were working on the book. A little bit disappointed to hear it's going to be a ways out before we get to see and hear about it. But can you give us any advance, you know, hints, like a little teaser video kind of thing?
We're going to be getting a little bit more metaphysical with the book, but still in a very grounded way. So showing the parallels between ideas such as thought forms,
mm-hmm.
and giving you a grounded way to connect with them, some ways that you can make sense of them and how it loops into what actually manifests for you. I'm probably going to touch a bit more on the lucid dreaming stuff and how that folds in. We'll see. I've got an outline for the book. I'm making my way through writing those chapters. One of the ways I do write those chapters is through the live content that I do.
Okay.
So if you want an insight, then you know, check out the lives that I do on Instagram.
Okay.
Because
here's a good hint.
those are quite directed. Also, when I'm doing the course for my accelerator program, the guys in my accelerator, those explore that level of content too, because the questions that they're asking as well gives me the chance to dig deeper and make sure that it does make sense. And then that's all getting converted and transcribed into book. But I've got the narrative, I've got the flow of what the book is. We're going through the flow funnel at a much deeper level.
Okay.
The flow funnel is what powers the money game, by the way. So mm-hmm. the flow funnel is what makes the money game work. I was going to make it more general, but I'm actually going to focus it again on financial abundance and then specifically speak to how it can be applied to other things. But yeah, Stop Meditating will be out. By this time next year, Stop Meditating will be out.
But, I love the title, by the way. I loved it then. I love it now.
Yeah, I wanted to focus because I just released the updated edition of Step and Beyond Intention. I gutted the book again, went right through it again, tidied it up,
Wow. Edited
it a little bit, put a new cover on it. So we just released that last week. So I want to spend some time with that and just getting that into people's hands. Because I don't want to go over old ground in Stop Meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense to make sure that Step and Beyond Intention is revamped, ready to be the stepping board, the jumping board into Stop Meditating. I also re-gutted the Money Game book, just cleaned it up again, made sure that we spoke to the Money DNA and some of the other concepts and just brought that up to date. We're going to be, fingers crossed, by next week, we're going to be making that available for a dollar again on a more permanent basis for people to get that book for a dollar. So we're working on that. That will be, I believe, next week should be a bunch of people should keep an eye on the book page of the website. So yeah, I want to focus on getting these out because when people have got Stepping Beyond Intention and Money Game locked in, when then I give them Stop Meditating, it will make a lot more sense and they'll have a really grounded foundation for making the most out of the book rather than having to play catch up.
That's good. Well, I also wanted to emphasize that we did do a show a while back. This is a well over a year ago. So you'd have to go to the loatoday.net website to find it. But we did do an entire show on Stepping Beyond Intention. I think we actually did two or three. There were a few of them there. There was like a series of them. And, if you want to get a real good sense of what the book is about, besides going and buying it, which is a good idea, play back those particular episodes because this is a deep book. This is a deep book written by a man who has a tremendous mind and a tremendous ability. Now, the Asperger's really serves him well.
Yeah. That ability to really, gods.
That's right. I mean, you just know how to, I was interested to see how you were describing visually what it's like for you. I kind of imagine you like, you know, Captain Kirk looking at the command of, you know, the command deck of the Star Trek Enterprise. Like, okay, we're going to place a three-dimensional chess here. And, you know.
Yeah, it's great. It's good fun. But I do want to make sure that I don't run ahead and that I really honor this mission of making sure that we create that middle ground for people who have been a space cadet and realized that you don't really get much done as a space cadet, or have been on the hustle and burnout and realized you're not really getting much done there either. And just finding that middle ground where I can enjoy the stars, but actually, you know, enjoy the stars on the journey to somewhere.
And Moonshot was asking, are you going to offer your books on Audible?
So Stepping Beyond Intention, the old edition is available on Audible. It was narrated by a professional narrator. I actually am going to be recording Money Game. We were in Mexico City, so I wanted to start it this week, but we ended up in Mexico City for the first half of the week. So at some point in July, I'm aiming to finish the order book for The Dreamer's Manifesto and for Money Game and have those available. Those are some projects that I've got in the works.
Very good, yeah. Good stuff. So, I didn't really expect we're going to turn this into promote Dan Mangana's book series, but it's well worth it because, I mean, I'm very grateful, first of all, that you shared the Money Game with us to put onto the app. That was a really wonderful gift that you made there, and the condensed version of Beyond Intention. But, I mean, yes, I thoroughly recommend all of what Dan's been creating to all the listeners. And check out Dream with Dan on Facebook. And now you got this big thing going on Instagram. So if you're an Instagrammer, definitely want to hook into that. Yeah, it's all very, very worthwhile. I don't know if anyone, and I hope you aren't, well, fortunately, maybe the melanin won't let you do it, but I hope you're not blushing too much when I say this. But, but the fact is,
the melanin keeps it under wraps.
He does, right. Yes, exactly. But I don't know of anyone who has a better handle on how to describe and discuss this stuff without having to even tie into spirituality than Dan. I mean, seriously, you have a better handle on that than anyone I've ever talked to.
Oh, wow.
And I admire you for it because that takes a lot of brain power to do that. It takes an awful lot to do that. So, yeah, kudos to you for that. Really, really cool. So I will be giving a report tomorrow to WG, also a Taiya Bootcamp graduate, about what this first meeting with the stream is going to be like tonight and what my experience is going to be. I'm even planning, I don't know if I'll do it in time for tomorrow, but I'm even planning to take some little snippets from it to share on the program. So that'll be a little something to look forward to.
Well, I'm in a meeting tomorrow, but I would love for you to drop a voice note or a text and let us know.
Okay.
Or I'd love to get the deal on your experience with it.
Yeah, sure. I'll be glad to. That'd be great. Yeah. I mean, I'm treating this as an opportunity for other people to vicariously experience it through me. Mm-hmm. And if in doing that, I can encourage other people to take their own steps forward, to me, that's a win-win-win. That's a fabulous thing. So that's what I'm hoping for. But I am already grateful for the fact that Dan McGain is a part of the team. Thank you for your insights about Taiya during this show. Well, we missed Alex, but she'll be back next week. It'll be a good thing. Yeah. Thank you very much to the people who are listening on the live stream. Boonshot had some really good questions. Thank you very much for all that. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners, without whom we would not have a podcast even worth listening to. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.